The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-newsletter, Nursing Notes, which offers the latest industry news, trends, and updates in nursing. You can subscribe to the e-newsletter at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes issue will be accompanied by a couple of episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which will expand on the content and provide you greater insights into the topics presented in the e-newsletter. Check out nursingnoteslive.com or visit iTunes to subscribe to all episodes of this podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. This month's Nursing Notes newsletter takes a look at the fast-paced field of emergency nursing, including subspecialties in trauma care. In this episode, we brought together a panel of emergency and trauma nurses to discuss the roles nurses can play in this field and what they can look forward to in terms of advances which can impact emergency departments and their patients. We were joined by Elizabeth Sizelove, Director of the Trauma Program at Lehigh Valley Health Network in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Randy Smith, Director of the Emergency Department at Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus, Ohio. I'm here with Randy Smith and Betsy Sizelove to talk about advances and changes in trauma care and emergency nursing care. What kind of things are on the horizon? And I guess I'll start with Randy talking a little bit about, you know, nursing in general has come so far, but emergency nursing really has advanced right alongside of all the other things going on in the nursing career path in general. And so many aspects of emergency care, the nurse is just an integral part of the process in assessment, in providing treatment, and also instructions for someone that is not going to be your patient maybe ever again. And there's some things that have changed over the years. What have you seen come along that has really changed the way that nurses have interacted with their patients and advanced the way that emergency nurses and trauma nurses care for their patients?
I guess from my perspective, I don't know that up until maybe the last 5-10 years or so that emergency trauma nursing really had a true identity. I think that the certification piece that's really evolved, the advanced training piece of that, I think has really helped to drive emergency nursing and trauma forward. I'll give you an example. I know here at Nationwide Children's, on the trauma side, for example, we develop what is called a trauma nurse leader role. This is a nurse that is chosen by their peer group as well as recommendations from our physician colleagues to go through a one-year internship in trauma nursing. And these TNLs really drive to include the calling of the level of the trauma here at Nationwide Children's. That certainly wasn't the case 5 years ago. I don't know that there really was a lot of value given to the trauma nurses in their role to not only in the initiation of the trauma, but the care of the patients. A lot of things are being initiated and driven by, you know, the TNLs. I think when you have that kind of a role that's carved out, because I don't always think that nursing has done a good job of carving out roles for themselves. At times I think it either gets placed upon us because of necessity. I think we've been much more proactive as a profession to take more ownership in carving out and driving those roles from within inside the profession versus from a multidisciplinary group as a result of a root cause or, unfortunately, a bad outcome.
Betsy, what are your thoughts?
Well, I have to kind of echo some of what Randy has just spoken about his institution. What we did about, it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we also identified that trauma is such a complex disease process that if you throw a nurse back in a trauma bay and expect them to know exactly what to do without a lot of experience behind them, they felt lost. The team felt lost. So we, too, what we did is we put together what we call our core trauma nursing team, and they, again, are the select few nurses who are identified by their peers and by leadership as having that core concept and that core understanding of what the trauma patient absolutely needs following the ATLS concepts. So that core trauma nurse, her or his position is really as a caretaker, but also a facilitator back in that trauma bay. They work in concert with the trauma attending to assure that that patient is getting absolutely everything that they need, everything that they need after resuscitation. So they are back there kind of orchestrating that whole trauma resuscitation. And then we really pulled all the finite pieces of resuscitation. You know, when we look back 5 or 6 years ago, when the pre-hospital people would bring the patient, nobody paid attention to pre-hospital because they were too busy looking at the patient. Well, we've pulled back and said, wait a second, we need to listen to our pre-hospital colleagues, listen to what happened to the patient. So that core trauma nurse with pre-hospital, they say, time out, we give that report, and then we start taking care of the patient. And there's always somebody absolutely assigned to listen to that pre-hospital report. And we're now building on that process, and we're doing, you know, the new buzzword out there is crew resource. And we are looking again at our process to make sure that we are truly, you know, the team is working together as a team, that there's not an I in that team, that everybody is back there working for the care of that patient. And, you know, we did process flows. We looked at, you know, how does the patient enter, who's at the bedside, who should be there, who shouldn't be there. And by working through those processes, we've been able to really finite that care in a very efficient way that our outcomes are fabulous. And, you know, we're really proud of that. And along with Randy, having that nurse leader or that core trauma nurse back there is vitally important. And that core trauma nurse also mentors new nurses to become that other trauma nurse to come back and help them. So it's not just these, you know, certain few. They also mentor and educate new nurses, which they are more than excited about. They love to teach and love to educate. So again, we're kind of doing the same thing as Randy is at his institution as we are at Lehigh Valley Health Network, and really proud of that. And the attendings, you know, really foster that relationship and really count on, you know, the nursing staff to lead that with them.
What do you see as the role, Betsy, for an advanced practice nurse, perhaps a nurse practitioner in an emergency or even a trauma setting? Is there a position in the clinical setting beyond just the oversight role for patient care planning that happens in so many facilities associated with the discharge planning and gaining resources and working with social work? Is there another location or a place for that advanced practitioner in the clinical setting of patient care itself?
Well, advanced practice certainly has, you know, a huge part in my heart. I think the role of the nurse practitioner, the role of the advanced nurse practitioner has really kind of been put out there on the forefront, where a couple years ago it was really kind of pushed underneath the rug. We have started to utilize nurse practitioners and advanced practice nurses in our daily practice, and they have become a consistent factor in caring for our patients. You know, our residents, they come and they go. We have visiting residents who come in. We have found that the glue that keeps everybody together is that advanced practice role. The nurse practitioner has a very global prospect of taking care of that patient across the continuum. They can be in the trauma bay helping in the resuscitation. They can also be in the ICU. They can be upstairs on the floor. They can help with discharge planning. And then they can also be in the clinic. So we have used nurse practitioners and starting to use advanced practitioners as well to really help facilitate, you know, that patient through that trauma continuum and making sure that whatever that patient needs, we're making sure we're ordering that. Because what we find is the residents, they, like I said, come and go, but that nurse practitioner is a very consistent factor. And the nurse also brings that global look at the patient. We also have physician's assistants that also do a fabulous job, but there is a piece of nursing that has to be at that bedside because they're also teaching and mentoring not only the patient and the family, but the other nurses at the bedside. So I am a huge proponent for nurse practitioners and advanced practitioners.
Randy, what about your hospital and facility and experience?
Here at Nationwide, I know the APNs are used pretty extensively throughout the hospital. I think where there's opportunity is within the trauma program itself. I know there are APNs that support, for example, you know, surgery. But again, APNs working specifically in the trauma program in the ED do not happen. And I totally support it. I think too often sometimes APNs are still looked at as a physician asset, but not as much as a nursing adjunct. I think for a lot of different reasons. I think it's ironic when you look at the role of the APN in the last 10, 15 years across the healthcare environment, how much it's expanded, I think, in intensive care units and other areas, that it hasn't, I think, evolved as quickly within trauma centers. In fact, I don't think there's very little data out there that's even been published regarding the role of the APN in the trauma centers. I know I worked critical care many years myself, and I looked at the nursing adjunct that the APN provided in the management of those critical care patients, and I see a lot of those same things happening. I think with the advanced practice role, I think we're going to have to be more proactive here in the trauma program. The precedent is set for that, I think, within other programs, I think, to carve that role out. But I know I certainly support it. Talking with our physician leadership, they support it. We're actually at a good point right now because we are getting ready to open up a replacement hospital in 2011 and 12. And so we're really taking a pretty hard look and a scrub down of our programs and manpower and those kinds of things. And it's really helping to keep that out there for discussion.
So they're really, you're looking constantly at changing the staffing structure for an ER or a trauma center. Do you see that role for, with the Institute of Medicine report, an increased role for advanced practice? Is there really going to be a fundamental change in how we staff these facilities?
I know our institution, you know, does have some APNs, and again, we have, you know, one within our within the trauma center. I think it's going to take time to change the culture of, you know, how we look at that. And you're right, that report hopefully will help. I agree with Randy that APNs have not, especially in Pennsylvania, you know, we finally got a white paper about a year and a half, 2 years ago, you know, kind of saying what APNs are able to do, but it hasn't been completely accepted. And really, the reason why I don't think it's been accepted, it hasn't been understood yet and probably has not been used to the fullest capacity as it could be. So I think we have a huge opportunity to definitely foster those positions.
Betsy, can I make another point here? Betsy, I don't know what you understand, but I think too that I think what's also limited to this, and I'll go back to my experience on the critical care side, I think most people would acknowledge that when you look at the acute care practitioner role, that is one that's been slow to evolve. Mm-hmm. I know that there really has not been a lot of programs that produce that level of an advanced practice nurse. I know that when we looked at bringing nurse practitioners into the critical care units at Ohio State University Medical Center, we had a lot of challenges because there just wasn't a lot of the acute care MPs out there.
Yep.
So you were forced to take a look at, you know, FMPs and others and bring them in and develop a program, I think, to train them and bring them to the level of practice that needed to be done. I don't think that has changed a lot. I think some of the programs have increased their capacity, but I still think, if I'm understanding correctly, there still is not enough of the acute care MP programs out there to probably keep pace with what the demand is.
No, I agree. I know, you know, just a couple of my colleagues are going back for nurse practitioner, and I only know one school, you know, at least local to me here in Pennsylvania, that actually offers that acute care piece. Only if you pursue that on your own, you know, will you be able to foster that. But you're absolutely right. I think there's huge opportunity to try to get that more recognized. Because we have one, like I said, APN, who really just kept pushing to get that experience. The other APNs that we have throughout the institution are all kind of more medicine-based, but not more in that acute care setting. So, yeah, I agree with you. The opportunity is just tenfold, I think.
Let's move along and look at the future of emergency care and trauma care in general. I mean, nurses, we see how they've come so far. We've been talking about that. What have you been seeing on the horizon? And I guess I'll start with Randy here. What have you seen on the horizon that is exciting to you that's going to change the way patients are cared for by your nurses?
I think some of the things that come to mind to me pretty quickly is the technology piece. We're starting to see, I think, a lot more technology integrated into, I think, the emergency department in general, particularly, I think, with the advent of the EMR. I know it's been exciting here because of the fact that my application specialist is an RN. And so I think you're seeing more on the informatics side, nurses in those roles so they understand the practice of nursing. It's certainly a big benefit that I've got an application specialist for our Epic system who was one of my staff nurses for a little over 3 years because she understands the practice of emergency nursing. When we sit down at the table to talk about things that we can change at our level without having to go to the hospital, because some things we can do departmentally that don't really impact the rest of the hospital, we have the latitude to make those changes within our department. And we're able to do it, I think, more quickly because I've got a nurse who's in that role and she understands that. But I think just the technology piece, I know that we are getting ready to go live in April with our electronic trauma documentation record. I think this is also a huge area of opportunity in trauma nursing. I don't know that a lot of programs have an electronic record out there. So this is certainly something we're excited about. But I think the technological piece of things. I think also the orientation, the education, the hospital has bought into now for several years here. I think when you look at the fact that you don't get that experienced RN in the numbers that we used to get years ago, you do have to rely more on nurses that maybe come from other acute care backgrounds like critical care, where you're having to look at those new graduates. So I think obviously to a point that Betsy made earlier, whether it's the trauma side or emergency nursing, you just can't take people and give them 4, 6, 10 weeks of orientation and expect them to be able to practice. We all know the practice of emergency nursing is more diverse and complex than ever before. And I think when hospitals start to recognize the ED as the front door to institutions, and the ED start to also drive, I think, some of the downstream care by the work and care we provided in the ED, I think it really opened the door then for emergency nurses to have more of a voice in care in general, and they were recognized more as full partners, you know, in that care. I think that's something that nurses have done very well here and nationwide, is they've taken ownership for that and they drive that, and they are looked as full partners with not only our physician colleagues, but also, you know, other disciplines within the system. We are actually talking about, as well, the development of a more advanced internship, if you will. I know that if you look at nurses in general, we're the only profession, I think, still across the board that does not have, like, a residency program. And I think what always concerns me, and I think a lot of other nursing leaders is even when you do a six-month orientation program, I think most of us recognize this takes a good 12 to 18 months for that nurse out of orientation to really start to get comfortable with the practice of emergency nursing, to really start to hone in on their own time management and critical thinking. So you still need to have some mentorship there. You still need to have some connection, I think, you know, to bodies of knowledge, for example. I think that's something else would be the third thing I would talk about, is that we are doing a much better job of integrating evidence-based practice into what we do here. And so I think nurses are starting to get much more excited about the scientific contributions that nurses can make, you know, to the practice of emergency nursing. I'm really hopeful we can get this residency program developed. Again, I think we do a good job overall with the orientation, but even I think within our ED, whether it's the trauma side or even on the ED side, I think it's keeping those nurses connected. Whether you come back once a month or every couple months and have maybe some type of a meeting, you know, where you're taking a look at progression, how are things going? Because I think we all know that a lot of hospitals have really have looked at for several years now, retention rates in those nurses 3 years or less. Because if you're going to lose them, you're going to probably lose them in that first year because they don't feel connected, they feel overwhelmed, all of those kinds of things.
What about you, Betsy? Things that are exciting to you? I mean, Randy's just named a ton of just great topics, and we could probably expand on all three of them. But I think there's a lot of good things that are out there on the horizon. What are you most excited about?
Well, first of all, as soon as Randy said he's going to get an electronic trauma, flow sheet, I was like, really? Like, good for you, because I'll tell you, that is one of the areas that truly, like you stated, I think we are struggling nationwide from an electronic technology standpoint. I think we have done a fabulous job with the electronic medical record in certain respects, but for that trauma piece of it, it has been a struggle to get all of the pieces that we need to be electronically for the nurse to be able to do it efficiently. So, we are still looking at it, but we still do paper flow sheets in, back in our trauma bay. So, good luck to you, Randy. And, I think it's a huge step forward, and it would be something that would definitely, should be shared, with the rest of us, emergency nurses and trauma nurses, how did you do it? What does it look like? Because people are going to be, jumping at that. But I really have to jump on that technology bandwagon as well, because we actually, our physicians have their electronic daily note, and we've been doing that for probably about 6 years now, and we're actually opening up a new template probably in the next 3 weeks, which will allow finally the nurses to be able to see that. I mean, they see it after it's printed and it's put in the chart, but now they can see it actually electronically, and it actually coincides with their nurses' notes. So again, another piece of collaboration among, the trauma service, that the nurses, the physicians, respiratory therapy, nutrition, all those interdisciplinary people can now be on the same electronic medical record. So we are extremely excited about that. And our informatics person who works with our trauma team is an old trauma nurse who is a trauma nurse for, 15 years. So not only does she love the informatics piece, but she understands the trauma piece of it, which is very rare to find. So to have that combination, that has helped us, tremendously. On the orientation piece, I agree with you, Randy, 100%. We actually did institute probably about 2 years ago. It's not a full-fledged residency program, but we put the concepts into place that to be a core trauma nurse, there is X amount of time and X amount of expectations that you must meet. You must have so many of, this complex trauma patient before you can do, the next procedure. And there is a log, and they are attached to a certain nurse for an extended period of time over that initial orientation. And it has worked beautifully, where that nurse feels so comfortable walking back into that trauma bay, whereas 2 years ago, they wouldn't even step close to the door. So, that mentoring and that internship residency, quote unquote, has helped our nurses really, really tremendously. And the satisfaction of the nurses has increased tenfold. We're a magnet hospital not only once but twice, and actually Magnet's here this week, for their third visit. And we're extremely proud of that because we really, really foster our nurses to do that ownership piece and really stand up for what nursing really is. And we do look at evidence-based practice. They sit on committees that look at different policies and procedures and, well, why are we doing that? We allow the nurses to ask those questions rather than just hand them a policy and say, here, you need to do this. They have ownership for that policy to say, wait a second, let me pull that article and make sure that we are truly doing what we're supposed to be doing. So, we're doing everything you're doing, Randy, and it's exciting. And the nurses, I'm working on a lecture right now, and I've been interviewing nurses, and I'm telling you, they're happy out there. They want to get rid of the paperwork. They're excited about the electronic medical record, and they see that as the future, which will give them time to take care of the patient.
And that's what it's all about, is being there to take care of our patients. I think nurses are in their positions because they want to be at the bedside more than they're at the chart.
Yep,
Any final thoughts, Randy, for someone thinking about a career in emergency nursing or trauma nursing? What you would maybe some advice you would offer to them?
I think really probably the biggest thing I would say to anybody is I don't know that today is probably more exciting than at any point I can think of in a long time. I think all the things we talked about, I think Betsy's right, we're not there yet with technology, but it's moving. I think we're making great strides. I think when you look at hospitals, too, that are magnet organizations, I think that certainly has added a voice to the practice of nursing in general. And I think where nurses like here, for example, our emergency nurses have really carved out a role for them. They're taking ownership. They're driving practice. They're being looked at as full partners in care more than I can ever remember. And I think that's really exciting because I think nurses are looking for that autonomy. They want to know that they have a voice, that they make a difference, you know, that they control and direct their practice. And I think with the orientation strides, I think we're doing good jobs most places of preparing nurses to practice. They're being empowered. And I just think it's exciting. And although certainly I think you hit it on early, Jamie, we know that overcrowding probably isn't going to go away. But the same token, I think it's exciting to know that we've got more control than ever before of deciding what that looks like. And the fact that more hospitals recognize the ED as the doorway, or at least as a doorway to the hospital. And I think it's driven down tremendously, you know, burnout, turnover. I think retention's higher. I think one of the things we're talking about, too, is how do you leverage out that experience? So what kind of other roles can we maybe create? So when that nurse gets to the point where they're not able to keep up with maybe the physical demands of emergency nursing or trauma, what other kind of roles are there out there that allows us to keep that tenure and experience to keep the practice strong and vibrant?
Betsy, I know you've got to run, but final just words of encouragement for a nurse considering or a student considering emergency nursing.
Yeah, I think emergency nursing, trauma nursing, you know, again, as I've been interviewing nurses the past several weeks, you know, trauma and emergency medicine is a high adrenaline rush for nurses. You know, so if you're truly looking for that, it's a place to be because you are truly ingrained into that patient. Number one, it's never the same every day. Every patient comes in with something new, so you are constantly investigating, constantly looking. So, I mean, it keeps you on your toes all the time. And I agree with Randy, the fostering of nursing, it's not just the nurse at the bedside anymore. It's more than that. They are recognized as the nurse. They are recognized as part of the team. They're recognized as making a difference within how they practice at that bedside and what is being brought to that patient. They have a voice, and they're being heard, and they're being respected, and they're part of that team. So, I mean, I've been in this over 20 years and, you know, still don't find any dull days in my life. So I say go for it.
Don't forget to check out the entire February 2011 issue of Nursing Notes, featuring a peek inside the specialized fields of emergency and trauma nursing. You'll find links to resources like the Nursing Campaign's A Day in the Life video, which follows emergency department nurse Laurie through her day while she balances family, hobbies, and a second career as an ER nurse, and the Emergency Nurses Association's latest set of emergency nursing resources. You can find the entire issue online at www.discovernursing.com. And don't forget to catch our other episode of Nursing Notes Live this month, where we brought together a group of emergency and trauma nurses to discuss the unique challenges associated with their jobs. You'll find this and our other podcast episodes at www.nursingnoteslive.com and in the podcast area in iTunes. Nursing Notes Live is produced each month for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing Future by MedicCast Productions. All rights reserved.